This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
Welcome, guys. And this is going to be a really interesting session today. If you are an Amazon seller and you want to grow your brand through external traffic, because we have here today an expert on driving external traffic to sell your Amazon products. We're talking things like Facebook ads, Google, a lot of different things. And today we're going to cover off a lot of things. The Amazon space has changed a lot when it comes to digital marketing. Right now, there's lots of crazy stuff going on with Facebook ads. There's so many updates going on. There's Amazon attribution now. It's a fast-changing landscape. So this is going to be a really interesting session to see what is actually working in 2021. Because, I mean, honestly, if you've been learning this stuff a year ago, so much has changed that you're probably going to have to learn a few things here. And I can't think of anyone better to bring on than Andrew Buck. He is with Landing Cube, one of the most well-known agencies out there for driving external traffic to Amazon. So he has not only, you know, experience from one brand, but the cool thing about bringing people on like Andrew is that he has experience across, you know, all of his client brands, and he just really sees what's working in a lot of different niches for a lot of different brands, not just one brand like a lot of the YouTubers that you see out there. So really excited to dive into this one. Welcome, Andrew. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Good to be here.
Excellent. And maybe just start out, just so people know a little bit of your Amazon background, just tell people like how you got into Amazon and how you came to be the expert in Amazon external traffic.
So the main thing that that I'm involved in and that we're involved in at Landing Cube is we have a software tool that is we're basically the go-to landing page tool for Amazon sellers. And we've been running this business for about 4 years now, and we have a bunch of big brands and small brands and single person sellers using our software to build landing pages, to build chatbots and tracking links and basically everything you need to do external traffic. So that's kind of why, I have a lot of experience with external traffic, because that's all that our software tool is focused on, helping Amazon sellers, have an easier time sending Facebook ads or Google ads to their listing and basically benefiting from it. On the other side, I do, some consulting and some work on the other side with brands and helping them manage and craft their external traffic strategy. So, that's a way that I'm able to get a lot of experience, with different brands, different niches, different sizes. So, that's kind of what I'm into right now.
Awesome, Andrew. And maybe a really good place to start is, what has been the really big changes when it comes to driving external traffic to Amazon? Like over the past year or so, there's been some, pretty significant changes to what you can do. And like Amazon's rolled out attribution and a few things like that. So what have been the biggest changes in the past year or so that you really want to highlight here?
I think the biggest thing that's changing is the Amazon, the algorithm and how Amazon handles external traffic. I think they're putting a much bigger focus on quality of customer that buys from you. So if you look at several years ago, it was easy to just do kind of full price giveaways or high price giveaways, run it with a launch service, and they have a bunch of buyers there who buy all their highly discounted products, and basically that will help you rank. These days, Amazon wants to see you driving quality sales to your product listing, which means buyers who, you know, regularly buy on Amazon for full price, not just coupon sales. So the sellers that were using launch services and kind of like 80% discount codes to rank, that's not really working anymore. Instead, we've got most sellers are going for either trying to drive full price sales or doing highly discounted sales to an audience that they've kind of built themselves, that are an audience of real customers, like real fans of their brand, people who are going to go on and buy more things from Amazon, not just they're going to buy, you know, 80% discount product that shows up on their Facebook feed. So that, I think, is the biggest change. Is the attribution as well, which is out there, but from all that I've heard from sellers that I've talked to and worked with, it's still a little bit buggy. So that hasn't quite been a game changer yet, but hopefully it will be, you know, in the near future.
What are some of the bugs that you've been seeing with Amazon attribution? Have you been seeing incorrect data, or what exactly have you been seeing?
Just the data not really being 100% accurate. That's what I've been hearing and seeing. It could be working for, you know, some sellers it's not. I think it's still in a beta from what Amazon puts out there. So hopefully that'll be getting more consistent as time goes on.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, let's move on to what really is working when it comes to driving external traffic on Amazon in 2021. Like, what do you think is, if sellers had to choose one external traffic strategy, what is the one that they should be focusing on?
So if you're doing a product launch or just kind of a short campaign to, you know, rank your product higher, Facebook ads is still the go-to. There's really no way that you can push a lot of sales and kind of scale your sales the way you can with Facebook ads. So that's the go-to platform for launching. As far as a little bit, you know, deeper into the strategy, a lot of people today are using rebates. So they will drive people to buy the product for full price and then say, okay, after you buy the product, we're going to refund you usually 100% of the purchase price. And that works really well because it ends up being full price sales on Amazon, which Amazon likes to see. They don't, it seems like they give lower ranking power to kind of discounted sales. So if you give a 50% coupon or a 70% coupon, they won't give that as much power for ranking. Whereas if someone buys it for full price on Amazon, they give it full power for ranking. And then you send a PayPal or gift card rebate back to the customer after they purchase as that incentive to buy. So that's, I think, the go-to strategy right now, but it is expensive and it is more effort than just running a promotion and giving out a bunch of coupon codes. So there's kind of that payoff there.
Yeah, and one thing I want you to talk about here that I think a lot of people get themselves in trouble when it comes to Facebook ads, because they kind of underestimate how much of a beast it really is to get Facebook ads set up and, you know, your landing pages and your tracking and the audiences and all that kind of stuff. I was actually just on a call with someone earlier who, you know, you can tell by the kind of questions that they're asking that they're getting in over their head. They're like, hey, if I have this video, is that going to work well as an ad, right? It's just like too simplified of a question. So talk a little bit about like what really goes into a successful Facebook ads campaign when it comes to driving Amazon traffic. Like, what are all the moving pieces and what does that all look like?
Yeah, I'd say the most important part is definitely targeting. So you need to get in front of the right people with the right offer. Like if you're running ads to people who don't really care about what you have to say, what you have to sell, or what your ad's saying, you're just never going to get meaningful results from that. So targeting is the most important part, and to be honest, that takes a decent amount of time, particularly if you're starting from scratch. If you're like, I have no customer list to start with, I have no data to start with, it's going to take time to kind of get your targeting right. You're not going to be able to say, okay, let's target people who are into health supplements between 20 and 30, and I'm going to get good results from that. It's going to take a long time. So the solution to that, first, if you've got a customer list, if you have an email list, or if you've if you're able to download order reports of your past sales on Amazon with, you know, names and addresses, you're able to, you can upload your list to Facebook, create a lookalike audience from that list, and that's a really good way to start with, because Facebook will find similar people to the people who have bought from you in the past, and that'll help you kind of hit the ground running. Yeah, other than that, if you're starting from scratch, it's going to take a while and a lot of kind of trial and error and testing to, slowly get your ad spend down and your results up, and kind of build that targeting kind of foundation that you need to start running ads and, you know, not losing so much money.
Okay, and what do you think is a good amount of money for someone to get to that point where they can actually figure things out? Because this is another mistake that a lot of first-time people running Facebook ads make, is that they go and spend, you know, a couple hundred dollars or something, and then they just think that it's not working, and then they give up. So, like, really, what is a good amount of money that someone can spend on Facebook ads to know one way or the other, like, hey, is this going to work for me, or is this not worth my time?
It's hard to put a kind of exact value on that, because it can be different for different brands, can be different depending on the kind of assets that you have going into Facebook ads. Like if you have an email list, if you have that customer list, if you don't have anything at all, some products you're not going to need to drive a lot of sales to kind of get the results that you need. Like you might just need to drive kind of 15 sales per week to get a rankings boost. So for those brands, for those products, you might need kind of a lower spend. Then for other ones, if you're, you know, a supplement company in the in a more competitive space, more competitive on Amazon, and then also more competitive kind of paying for space on Facebook ads, it's going to cost a lot more. But what I can say is that it is not cheap, like when you're just starting out. So if you're going in and thinking, I'll spend a couple of $100 and see if I get results, and if I don't get results, I'm done with Facebook ads, then that's not really the right way to approach it.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But just so people have like a rough idea here, because I've heard totally different numbers from different people. Like, I have one friend who he drives a lot of Facebook ads kind of in the dropshipping space, and he says he needs to spend $5,000 before if he really knows the product is going to work or not. But, you know, for a lot of other products, I'm sure it can be a lot less than that before it really works out. So, like, you know, if a person's brand new and they need to just have a set budget set aside for, like, hey, this is my kind of budget to blow on ads, what would you recommend just as a kind of baseline?
I think anything less than $500 would probably be a waste. You're probably not going to get any meaningful results from that. But definitely a lot of categories and niches and product types are going to take kind of a lot more than that as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real answer too. I love that too, because it's like, it's such a nuanced thing where I love how you pointed out different categories, because for example, like in an extreme end, not in e-commerce, but like people who are selling high ticket programs and stuff like that, like they're going to pay like $2,000 per sale or even more a lot of the time. Some of them are paying like $1,000 per booked call to sell their program. And that's how much volume it takes to really get things to work. And obviously for e-commerce, those numbers are not going to work out very well, but like, it's just such a dependent thing, depending on the category and like who you're really targeting as your target customer on Facebook, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the money that you can afford to spend on Facebook ads and the money you can afford to spend per conversion obviously differs greatly, you know, depending on the price of the product that you're selling and your profit margins and, you know, how much you can afford to pay per sale or per whatever your conversion is. So yeah, it's just so hard to put one figure down that works for everyone, because, you know, every campaign, every product is different.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. So Andrew, I would love to hear what you recommend for someone who's never ran Facebook ads before. What would you recommend as like an overview of the strategy that they should use to set up the first Facebook ads and then generate some sales on Amazon? Just walk us through, like, what does that look like? What are the pieces?
So first of all, you definitely want a budget to play with, just as we've been talking about. You don't want to be thinking, okay, I'm kind of breaking even on Amazon. I'm making, you know, a small profit on Amazon. Now I'm going to try and boost it on Facebook ads, and I'm going to spend $20 a week, you know, $50 a week on Facebook ads. Like you need to understand that it's an investment, and you're putting some money in to kind of get better results in the future. But yeah, if you are starting out, first of all, see what data you can get from your order reports on Amazon. There was the fulfilled shipments report if you're selling on FBA. That for a long time gave you kind of the names and addresses of your customers, which you could use to then kind of build a lookalike audience on Facebook. I think from tomorrow, maybe they are removing that from that report. However, there might be other reports you can get that basically give you kind of the past sales you've had on Amazon, and you can download that, get the names and addresses, and upload that to Facebook. That's maybe a little bit gray hat with Amazon terms, because they don't want you using that customer data. But, you know, if you're using that to create a lookalike audience, you're not targeting your past customers with ads. You're not advertising to them, so it's okay. You're not going to get in any trouble for that. So if you do that, create a lookalike audience based on your past customers, and then layer that with, you know, one or two one or two interests that or demographics related to your product. So if you're selling health supplements, people who are interested in iHerb or there might be something else that comes up in the Facebook audience targeting. Layer that on top of your lookalike audience and see the kind of results you get from that. That's a good place to start with. Then the other thing you want to do is you want to be driving your Facebook ads to a landing page that then takes the customer onto Amazon, because that lets you add a conversion event for Facebook to automatically optimize your ads. If you're sending them straight to Amazon, you don't have the Facebook pixel on Amazon. You don't have any way to tell Facebook, like, okay, this is the event that I want to optimize my ads for. This is the kind of people that I want you to show ads to. So it's going to be really kind of rough targeting. So if you use a landing page, put your Facebook pixel on the landing page, and then you can tell Facebook, okay, I want you to show ads to the people that are most likely to click from my landing page to Amazon. That's going to let Facebook, they've got a really sophisticated kind of algorithm that is able to find the kind of people that are most likely to do a kind of action that's taken place in the past, like, your conversion event from your landing page. So if you do that, Facebook's automatically going to start optimizing your ads, and you're going to get better results from the jump just by doing that. And then you're also going to be gathering this kind of data on the Facebook pixel, and you can build events and build audiences and then build lookalikes on those audiences based on the Facebook pixel data you've gotten on your landing page. So that's going to help you get to having kind of optimized audiences a lot quicker than if you're just putting an ad, go straight to Amazon, and you're basically gathering no Facebook pixel data from doing that.
Right, and what that's doing is really getting the Facebook algorithm to optimize itself, right? It's kind of Getting that feedback loop back to the algorithm, Right? Is that what you're saying? Like, you send it to Amazon, the Facebook pixel has no idea what's happening. They just know someone clicked and they went to Amazon, and that's kind of the end of the story, right? So that landing page is not only so you can retarget people and have control over what's on the landing page, but also to optimize the Facebook algorithm, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because you're going to, a lot of the people who click on your Facebook ad are not going to buy. So if you're sending them straight to Amazon, a lot of people are bouncing, not buying from there, and you have no way to tell the Facebook pixel, okay, these are the type of people who are not buying and these are the type of people who are buying. Whereas with a landing page, a lot of people will bounce on the landing page. So you can tell the Facebook pixel, okay, this is the type of people that are clicking the ad and then leaving, and these are the type of people who are clicking the ad and then clicking through on the next step to Amazon. Now, these are the type of people that we want to get our ads in front of.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And then as far as what's on that landing page, like, is it, like, how crazy is this landing page? What do you really have on there? And then where are people clicking over to you? Is it a link to go click directly onto the Amazon listing, or what exactly is going on there?
So for the landing page itself, it does not really, for Amazon products, I don't think it has to be rocket science. There can be super complex landing pages you can build for physical products, for services, for all this kind of thing that go down, way down the page with all the features, all the benefits, all the everything. I think for Amazon products, you really don't need to do all of that. Like, first of all, it's got an element of social proof from being on Amazon. So people, like to shop on Amazon. They see that as this is going to be a high quality product. So that kind of helps take away a lot of the mess that you often have on landing pages. And yeah, if it's a lower price kind of product, if it's not a super high ticket product, then you don't need to do a whole bunch of convincing on the landing page as well. It's much better to have something that's clean, that loads fast, and just gives the customers kind of the information they need. They need the images, the details of your promotion if you're running it, and just one button to click through to Amazon. Now, as far as when they click from the landing page to Amazon, you can send them straight from the landing page to the product listing, or even you can generate a link that sends them to the add to cart page, so it automatically adds the product to their cart, and that takes down that takes out a lot of another step of kind of friction between clicking on the ad and buying. So you can do that if you're just trying to get sales kind of as fast as possible and as many sales as possible. However, if you're trying to rank for a specific keyword, like say you've got your main keyword or one keyword that's kind of lagging behind the others and you're trying to rank for that, you can use a two-step URL or a search find by URL. And that basically takes the customer from your landing page, it goes to a search page with a keyword filled out. Your customer will click on your product from the search page, and then Amazon basically sees that, okay, this person bought the product after searching for this keyword, so they'll give you a little extra kind of boost for that keyword. So that's going to reduce conversions, like final sales, a little bit, but it's going to give you more power for, you know, the keyword that you put in. So just weigh up how important one specific keyword is for you. If that is, you know, super important, if that's the goal of your campaign to rank higher for this keyword, then that's a good option.
Yeah, no, that's excellent advice. And so one thing I'd like to touch on there is on the landing page, I think it's important to think of, like, what are you really trying to sell on that landing page? Like you said, Andrew, if you're selling a low ticket product, really, like, you're not selling anything super crazy that you need, like, a super long form sales letter and everything like that. Really, what you're selling on that landing page is the click, right? All you're really selling is for someone to be interested enough to click over to the product, right? So, like, that's all you're selling. It's a very small sell. Whereas people who have, like, super long form sales letters and big video sales letters and all that kind of stuff typically are selling really high price point items, like maybe, you know, a coaching package just like $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000. That's just a bigger leap that someone has to go through to make that purchasing decision. But, like, you know, or if you're selling book a sales call with me, that's a more difficult sell. People don't want to waste their time going and, you know, booking a call with someone that they're not actually really interested in that. So you got to take them through a much bigger journey on that landing page. But if you're selling a $20 or $30 item on Amazon, you know, getting them to click on it is a very easy sell. And then getting them to add it to cart and buying it is also a pretty, you know, easy sell as well. It's a pretty impulse buy kind of thing. So I love how you're touching on that. Just make it simple, because you're selling something pretty simple, which is the click. And I also want to ask you about the URL. So there's so much debate within Amazon seller community of, like, you know, super URLs. Do any of these keyword URLs still work anymore? Tell me a little bit about that. Like, you know, are these keyword URLs still really working today to help for your keyword ranking? And then specifically, what type of keyword URLs?
So it's obviously impossible to say with 100% surety that they work, because obviously, you know, Amazon doesn't say anything about that. You're not going to be able to get hard data that says, okay, your product ranked higher because of this keyword. But from a lot of sellers that I work with and talk to, they're using two-step URLs, and they are still working. The old school super URLs, they do not really work these days. The ones that send you straight to the product listing with keywords filled out in the URL there, they don't work because there's a unique timestamp in every URL. So basically Amazon's able to see, so if this unique timestamp has been used multiple times, then okay, this is an artificially generated URL. Let's ignore that for ranking purposes. So those kind of URLs are not going to work. With a two-step URL, it's a unique click every time. So there's basically no way for Amazon's algorithm or their software to tell that, okay, this is a fabricated or artificially generated URL. And yeah, from all that I know and all that I've heard, they are still working. I think the biggest difference with a bunch of the different two-step URLs, so you have like a storefront URL, a brand URL, there's another couple of different kind of searches that you can generate. Some of them have like related and sponsored products in the search page, some of them don't. So obviously you want a search page that only shows your product and doesn't have any related, sponsored, whatever to potentially divert clicks to someone else's product rather than your product. So that can vary. That can Amazon's always kind of changing that. So I'd kind of test that, like create your URL, test it yourself, and see like what the search page looks like before you start running your ad campaign, and just kind of see that it's an easy path for your customer to go from your landing page to the search page to your product listing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing to keep in mind there. Do you feel like, so like a storefront URL, for example, wouldn't have any competitor products on it and things like that. Do you feel like that still has the same amount of keyword ranking juice as one of the other types of URLs that, you know, would push people to directly to like a keyword search page or something like that?
Yeah, I think there shouldn't be any difference in the ranking juice between that and a different search page. That would necessitate Amazon to be looking at this and saying, okay, we're gonna lessen the ranking juice for this one or up the ranking juice for this, and they're not gonna be doing anything like that. So it doesn't make sense for the ranking juice to be different from search page to search page. I do see some people saying, okay, the field ASIN URL worked for me, the hidden keyword didn't work. I don't know how accurate those findings are. It can be, you know, related to something else, like maybe the first campaign had a higher quality of customer than the second campaign. The second campaign was more low quality buyers. That could be the issue, or it could be that there's something in the algorithm that we're not figuring out that's differing from URL to URL. So I do a bit of testing on that as well on your side. Like if you're running a ranking campaign, run like a couple of like maybe for a week run this kind of URL, and then for the next week run the second URL, and if you get higher ranking boost from one, then maybe go with that. But I don't see any evidence that one works better and has more ranking juice than the other.
Yeah, it's a really important point that you're bringing up there. There's so many different factors, right? So it's really impossible to just say definitively that, hey, like this worked for me, so this is actually going to work better, because there's, you know, dozens and dozens of different ranking factors that go into something on Amazon, and it's not public knowledge that they release to everybody, right? And a lot of Amazon employees probably have no idea, because the way algorithms work these days is that they're improving themselves, right? And it's up to the engineers to understand how the algorithm is actually changing itself. So it's so complicated. So I think that's a really important point to bring up here. And Andrew, last thing I want to touch on here is, what kind of systems are you setting up for attribution? So like understanding how your Facebook ads are performing. Do you have like certain softwares or certain techniques that you set up through this whole process to really track your ROI in your Facebook ads?
So you can, like we've talked about Amazon attribution and whether that's the solution yet or not, you can plug that link into your landing pages as well. So basically the link that goes from the landing page to Amazon has an attribution tag on that, and that there's basically no downside to adding that tag. So you can see either some data or all of it in Amazon attribution if you are part of that. So I would use that. But other than that, just using the landing page, as we talked about, that gives you a really good idea of kind of, it gives you a much better starting point of tracking how your ads are performing than say if you didn't have a landing page, if you're just seeing, okay, I've got this number of clicks on Facebook, and then I don't know what's happening, and then this amount of final sales on Amazon, which you can't necessarily tell from your, like, which sales are actually coming from your Facebook ads, unless you're using a unique coupon code for that campaign. But with a landing page, you can see, okay, this many people clicked the ad, this many people landed on my page, this many people clicked through from the landing page to Amazon. You can start seeing the, you know, your ROI per each event. So you can see how much I'm spending for every landing page view. This is how much I'm spending for, say, if you've got an email opt-in on your landing page, you can see how much I'm spending for each email opt-in, and then you can see how much I'm spending per click through to Amazon. And that's probably the best way to be able to track this with what Amazon gives us right now. And then if you've got that Amazon attribution tag as well, then you can see, you know, how much I'm spending per add to cart or per final sale. And then you might see that, okay, this data doesn't quite look right. Like maybe Amazon attribution is not fully accurate right now, but you're better off than if you didn't have any attribution tag, any kind of tracking instilled there, which that's honestly the only tool that can realistically give you that data on final sales and action on Amazon, because there's just nothing that Amazon allows that is going to be able to track that.
Yeah, and so that data, are you just pulling all that data into a spreadsheet and just kind of calculating? Are you going to take like your Facebook ads spend, and then you're going to take like your attribution data and just pump it into a spreadsheet and just make some calculations? Or is there a software that you use to kind of pull all that data together?
There's no specific software that that I use or that I know sellers use. It would be a good idea to, you get a lot of the data in Ads Manager. So if you're wanting to see, you know, your cost per landing page view, per coupon claim, per click through to Amazon, you can see all of that in Ads Manager, which is pretty handy. You can, you know, it's all in one place. You don't need to do anything complicated there. It would be worthwhile, especially if you're using Amazon Attribution to create kind of a spreadsheet and track that on your own, because that'll just help you understand and digest your results better as well. If you're kind of entering that data into a spreadsheet, that just helps you kind of look at it and diagnose it a little bit closer. What I would also look at when tracking results, tracking ROI, is tracking your rankings over like a promotional period as well. So if you're running a Facebook ad, you know, over the month of March, I would also track, and same if you're using like a spreadsheet and putting your results into a spreadsheet, I would also track and note down your ranking changes, because often Facebook ads are not run with the idea of I want to make a profit on every sale. You might run Facebook ads and just break even or make a loss, and that's worth it because you increase your rankings. So you think of it as an investment. I'm investing this amount of money into Facebook ads. I'm not expecting to make a profit on these sales, but I'm going to rank higher, and then as a result of ranking higher, I'm going to get more organic sales in the future. So that's something that I would track, is how much I've spent on this ads campaign and how my rankings have changed as a result. And if you see I spent this amount of money and my rankings went up 50% or 75%, then okay, you see my cost per boosting my rankings is really good. So that's what I would track, which I think a lot of people don't track or pay attention to. They just think of, okay, how much am I spending and how many sales am I making? But it's not all about the final sales. It's about the rankings.
Awesome, Andrew. Well, we're at the end of our time here. If people want to reach out to you or learn more about what you do online, where's the best place for them to do that?
So you can go onto landingcube.com. We've got a bunch of really good resources about external traffic and Facebook ads and Google ads. And start reading the content that we've got on there, because that's designed to help you start driving traffic to your listings, ranking higher, doing all that good stuff. If you have any questions for me, andrew@landingcube.com, email me there. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have there. And like I said, landingcube.com is where you can find the content that's going to help you get started if you've never done this before.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Andrew. So, and guys, if you're listening to this on the podcast version, then definitely go check out our Amazon Value Library Facebook group, because we release these types of interviews before they're released on the podcast, sometimes by up to a month before. And a lot of them are going to be live format as well. And if you're already a member of the group, definitely check out the what do they call it? It's not the mentor tab anymore. I think they call it, anyways, there's a certain tab within the group where there's an entire Amazon course that we have in there. Currently, we have more than 20 hours of free Amazon course content within the group on Amazon ads, Facebook ads, getting more reviews, listing optimization, all that good stuff. So that is the Amazon Value Library Facebook group. And then also, if you're in the group and listening to this, go check out the Actualize Freedom podcast. Just listen to it while you're on the bus or you're driving your new Ferrari from just selling your Amazon business around town. So thank you so much for coming on here, Andrew, and appreciate it as always, man.
Yeah, me too.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit kenjiroi.com.